Coming up is the news.
Tensions remain high between the U.S. and Russia over an American spy drone crash over the Black Sea. The U.S. says it has evidence Russia caused the crash. Iran, Russia and China hold the second day of their joint military drills in the Sea of Oman. And also ahead, New Zealand joins other Western countries to put a ban on China's popular social media app TikTok. World News. We're live from the Iranian capital, Tehran. Thank you very much for joining us. Our top story this hour, the Pentagon has released a video it says provides evidence that a Russian fighter jet caused a U.S. spy drone to crash into the Black Sea this week. The Pentagon says the video shows that the Russian fighter jet clipped the propeller of the American MQ-9 Reaper drone, causing its crash near Ukraine. The video was filmed by the drone, which the U.S. says was on a regular reconnaissance mission in international airspace. Russia denies that and sees the incident as a provocation. Moscow says the aircraft went down after making, quote, sharp maneuvers. It has warned of a proportionate response in case of future provocations. That's while the U.S. says it will continue to fly and operate wherever international law allows. The incident was the first direct encounter between the two powers since the Ukraine war began in February last year. We were earlier joined by Greg Simmons, a researcher at the Institute for Russian and Eurasian Studies. Let's take a listen to his comments on the heightened tensions between the two powers following the Black Sea incident.
I mean, as you noted, Colin Powell went before the UN with irrefutable evidence of weapons of mass destruction of Iraq, which this was the lie which is based on destroying Iraq. They've shot down, the Iranian airliner in Iranian airspace and claimed all kinds of things. So they have a history of lying and to get their way. There are a whole lot of problems with their so-called evidence. And I've been looking at some of these videos which have been emerging today. And on one... they have the claim that it hit the propeller of the drone. But if you look at the video, the propeller looks different in different parts of the video. On one part of the video, it had these yellow markers on the blade, and on the other, it did not. So, this seems to be yet another lie, and it does not answer the question why they had a drone with very sophisticated surveillance and spying equipment flying in an area 60 kilometers from Sevastopol, in an area designated by the Russians as part of the area of military operations in the Ukraine war, with its transponder off.
Iran, China and Russia are holding joint military drills in the northern part of the Sea of Oman. The drills, dubbed the Maritime Security Belt 2023, aim to safeguard security and peace in regional waters. Our correspondent Mehdi Abbasian has more.
Chinese and Russian vessels have entered Iran's territorial waters to hold a joint maritime exercise in the Sea of Oman. Delegates from Pakistan and Kazakhstan navies will also be there as observers. China has dispatched a guided missile destroyer to the area, while Russia has sent a naval group that consists of a frigate and a medium sea tanker. At the first stage of the drill, the naval officers of the three countries reviewed episodes of the trilateral exercise on maps, received instructions, and held tactical briefings. Later, the naval commanders of the three countries held a joint presser. The Iranian Navy's deputy commander said the main aim of the joint exercise is to help safeguard security in the northern part of the Indian Ocean.
The northern part of the Indian Ocean is one of the most important maritime routes for international trade and transfer of energy. Therefore, providing security in combating piracy and terrorism requires cooperation among regional countries and allies with common interests in this region.
Meanwhile, Chinese and Russian Navy commanders said the joint exercise further demonstrates the preparedness of the participating countries to maintain security, and it will also deepen their practical cooperation. The trilateral drill helps protect peace and stability in the region.
The trilateral exercise of Iran, China, and Russia has a four-year-long history, and our goals are clear. Our motto is together to provide peace and security. Therefore, we are only pursuing the interests of the Islamic Republic of Iran as well as collective interests of countries in the north of the Indian Ocean. We are cooperating with China and Russia in order to defend our interests and counter maritime piracy and terrorism.
This joint exercise is the third of its kind, following similar drills involving the Iranian, Chinese, and Russian navies in 2019 and 2022. The main stage of the Security Bond 2023 exercises involve forces from the Marine and Airborne units of Iran's Navy and the IRGC, as well as Russian and Chinese flotillas. Mahdi Abbasian from the location of the drill.
Now, Mehdi has spoken to Iranian Navy Commander Rear Admiral Shahram Irani about the ongoing drills in the Sea of Oman. Let's take a listen to the Iranian military official's comments.
Since the drills are based on maritime security and safety of maritime navigation, and the security of maritime navigation throughout the world matters to us, therefore, we focused on coordination, how to save vessels, and also how to save vessels that are in emergency conditions. And another part was related to combating maritime terrorism, because today there are some foreign forces who are present in the area unjustifiably. Therefore, we try to make use of our capacities, and we try to carry out the exercises successfully.
Iran has slammed Germany for making false claims on its nuclear program a day after the German Chancellor said the Islamic Republic should be prevented from obtaining nukes. Iran's Foreign Ministry spokesman Nasser Kanani said Olaf Scholz's comment echoes Israel's claims. Kanani said it's surprising that Germany tries to portray Iran's peaceful nuclear program as a threat, while Tehran's activities have been under tight inspections of the International Atomic Energy Agency. Kanani criticized Berlin for remaining silent on Israel's massive nuclear arsenal, which he said poses a threat to the global peace. The spokesman underlined that independent nations are frustrated with such double standard approaches. He said those nations are becoming more and more certain that some Western countries' accusations against Iran are hypocritical and false. Jordan has slammed Israel's attacks against Palestinians in different parts of the occupied West Bank, including the city of Jenin. The Jordanian Foreign Ministry urged Israel to stop its relentless attacks and unilateral measures. Now, on Thursday, regime forces raided Jenin, killing four Palestinians. The same day, Israeli settlers backed by troops also tried to break into an archaeological site in the city of Nablus. The Israelis have increased violence against Palestinians in the past several months, with raids and attacks taking place on a daily basis. At least 88 Palestinians have lost their lives across the West Bank this year alone. 17 of those killed are children. Every year in March since 2005, pro-Palestinian activists directed by the BDS movement hold activities and events against the Israeli apartheid policies. Our correspondent Ola Al-Asi reports from the besieged of the Gaza Strip.
The Israel Apartheid Week has started in Gaza and in many cities around the world. This is aimed at mobilizing grassroots support for the BDS campaign to isolate apartheid Israel in the global community, replicating the resistance movement against the South African apartheid. The week started with a message of solidarity to the Palestinians of the Gaza Strip from Mandela Mandela, the grandson of the South African leader Nelson Mandela. As part of its events, the BDS chose to screen a movie about horror experienced by a Palestinian younger during the Nakba. The ethnic cleansing of Palestinians by Zionists in 1948.
Well, I think the way Israel reacted to Farha is very typical of Zionist propaganda. They wanted to suppress the Palestinian voice. They didn't want us to tell our own narrative. And I think the best way of confronting this campaign of hate and racism is by producing more cultural products.
Palestinian institutions play an important role in informing people of the history of Palestine through different mediums in order to build a generation that is capable of reclaiming its rights.
I think that the new generation is passionate about learning the truth and the history of the struggle because during their entire life they have experienced both physical and structural violence perpetrated by the Israeli occupation. They want to know why they suffer, are not allowed to travel, and live in poverty. All this leads them to question the roots of all the problems.
The BDS movement has stressed the need to press ahead with the campaigns against the Israeli apartheid, especially because the regime has intensified its persecution to maintain a system of settler colonial oppression and domination over the Palestinian lives and land.
Recently, we witnessed a growing solidarity with the Palestinian people, especially when the new far-right fascist cabinet took office and Israeli massacre increased in the West Bank. We aspire to reach the international community, not only in the civil global community, to boycott, divest from and sanction Israel.
In Israel Apartheid Week, Palestinians reaffirmed their commitment to resisting occupation, exploitation, oppression, and apartheid, like any other people, by all means permitted under the international law and the UN General Assembly resolution, which includes armed struggle. Ola Al-Asi, Gaza.
New Zealand says it will ban China's popular social media app TikTok from lawmakers' devices, becoming the latest Western nation to put the restriction. Parliament officials say TikTok will be banned on all devices with access to the parliamentary network. They say the decision follows talks with colleagues across government and internationally. The restriction will begin at the end of this month. The US, Canada, Britain, and the European Union have already banned the video sharing app from devices operated by government staff. They've all cited security concerns that the app can share user information with the Chinese government. TikTok has rejected that, saying it has spent billions of dollars on data security. Beijing also says the bans are politically motivated, with the West trying to hinder China's development. Window Ju is a senior fellow at the Pangol Institution. He says the US and its Western allies are struggling to compete with China and explains how they are trying to confine Chinese development.
You have to look further beyond this TikTok thing, the U.S. Remember, this is all launched by the U.S. I call it a campaign basically against China, or a new Cold War by the Biden government against China, simply because they can't compete with China in terms of economy, in terms of technology. So there is a fear and complexity in Washington that they could lose the number one global power, superiority. That's what they are concerned with. So they are doing whatever they can, basically fair and fair, to attack China. You know, the lies about Xinjiang, the attack over Hong Kong, and of course, sending weapons to Taiwan. At the same time, banning high-tech free trade, for example, trading in technology, and then attack Chinese company Huawei, remember. You know, they, until now, they provided zero evidence of what Huawei has done wrong. Simply, there's accusation of Huawei, what Huawei could do. And then, you know, they almost, of course, they destroyed Huawei in terms of this high-tech, obviously 5G mobile phone because of the ban of the semiconductors. And now they are attacking TikTok for being too popular, for being too powerful.
The Federal Reserve has lent U.S. banks nearly $12 billion as part of efforts to ease stress on the financial system following the collapse of two major banks. The Fed says the new one-year lending program aims to help banks meet the needs of all their depositors. It's unveiled the scheme alongside the Treasury and the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation at the weekend. That followed the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank due to liquidity issues. U.S. authorities have spoken of what they called a serious risk of contagion that could affect other banks and are now trying to prevent that. The collapse of the two major banks sent shockwaves across the world. On Thursday, a Switzerland-based global investment firm announced that it would borrow over $50 billion from the Swiss Central Bank in response to reinforce that is itself.
And that brings an end to our bulletin for this hour, but don't go away.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
The 8-year defense of Iranian combatants.
A senior Iranian lawmaker has said,
contrary to Washington's claims, America's
President Raisi has emphasized that
U.S. sanctions have failed to extract concessions from Tehran.
Iran Today.
Shipping is one of the world's greatest and oldest industries with a long-standing history dating back thousands of years. As one of the oldest options for freight transportation, it's also one of the most available since oceans and waterways cover most of our planet. In fact, more than 90% of the goods transported in the world are carried by the international shipping industry. Competitive lower prices, higher security, convenient transport, and reliable delivery are some of the benefits that shipping companies can offer to their customers. Along these lines, maritime trade, shipping, and shipbuilding have been practiced by the Iranians since ancient times. Accordingly, Iran has a significant strategic position in West Asia region today due to its connection to Indian Ocean through the Persian Gulf and the Sea of Oman. After the Gulf of Mexico and the Hudson Bay, the Persian Gulf is the third biggest gulf in the world. It covers a vast area starting from the Arvand Rud Delta in the most southwestern corner of Iran to the Strait of Hormuz, which links it with the Sea of Oman and the marginal parts of the Indian Ocean.
Aside from Iran's southern shores that also include the Makran coastal strip in Balochistan, the Caspian Sea, that is the world's largest lake, is also located in northern Iran, which gives the country a considerable amount of additional sea transport with its littoral states. The Caspian Sea is bounded by Russia, Azerbaijan, Turkmenistan, and Kazakhstan. Both Iran and Russia have several active ports in the northern and southern parts of the Caspian Sea. This region carries a significant importance in terms of energy resources and up-and-coming global trade routes. To take a look at Iran as a transportational hub, please stay with us on this edition of Iran Today.
At present, Tehran appears to be fully focused on what is called the Look East policy, pursuing a slew of trade and energy agreements with Russia, China, and Central Asian nations in the context of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization that is making Iran its ninth member. Moreover, a concerted effort has been underway to facilitate trade with the whole Eurasian territory by the Islamic Republic. In that regard, China and Iran are both close to gaining membership in the Eurasian Economic Union, which will make free trade across Russia, Belarus, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, and Armenia possible. Another institution that links economies in the region and beyond is the BRICS group. Initially made up of Brazil, Russia, India, and China, it now also includes South Africa and is poised to expand further by including Iran and others. As part of these recent developments, Iran and Russia are building a new transcontinental trade route stretching from the eastern edge of Europe in Black Sea to the Indian Ocean, a 3,000-kilometer passage that's beyond the reach of any foreign intervention.
The fact is that our economy is tied to the sea, so our development and our economy must be sea-oriented. Why? Because more than 95% of our trades pass through seas, and in some export items, we have to admit that 100% of the goods are transferred via ship and vessels. For example, in the field of oil and its derivatives, i.e. petrochemicals. Therefore, in such a situation, it's necessary to gain and strengthen our maritime capacities and capabilities with vessels that carry Iranian flag.
The two countries are spending billions of dollars to speed up delivery of cargoes along rivers and railways linked by the Caspian Sea. Ship tracking data compiled by some media outlets show dozens of Russian and Iranian vessels are already plying the route.
The best type of transportation in the world is sea transportation for two reasons. One is that a large volume of goods is moved with a container called a ship. For example, we now have ships that can carry 25,000 containers. Its simple meaning is that it can carry the load of 25,000 trucks. The second reason is that it shortens the path. Why was the Suez or the Panama Canal built? Because the countries are close to each other through waterways. These two factors lead to the reduction of shipping costs. Today, 80% of goods in the world are transported by ship.
It's an example of how great power competition is rapidly reshaping trade networks in a world economy. Russia and Iran are turning toward each other, and they're both looking eastward too. The goal is to build new commercial links with the giant and fast-growing economies of Asia. The emerging trade corridor would allow Russia and Iran to shave thousands of kilometers off existing routes. Starting from the Sea of Azov, river, sea, and rail networks extend to Iranian hubs on the Caspian Sea and ultimately to the Indian Ocean. Experts estimate that Russia and Iran are investing as much as $25 billion in this corridor, helping to facilitate the flow of goods to global markets.
Beyond the self-interested U.S.-West bloc twisted perceptions, there are compelling economic reasons for the new transit route. Ships sailing the Don and Volga River traditionally traded energy and agricultural commodities. Iran is the third largest importer of Russian grain, but the range is set to widen. The two countries have announced a raft of new business deals covering goods including turbines, polymers, medical supplies, and automotive parts. Russia also supplies nuclear fuel and components for Iran's reactor in Bushehr.
Iran's strategic location in the Middle East makes it an ideal spot for freight transit. It can become a transit hub as it owns, on the one hand, access to the Far East and, on the other, to the Commonwealth of Independent States, Europe and Africa.
The problem here is that, yes, it is very important that you have the talent for work, or that your country has the potential for something. But it is more important to create a platform to use that potential. Our geographical position is unique, but it is more important to provide the tool and to create the necessary infrastructure to exploit these geographical advantages. As a simple example, I must say that today about 2 million containers are moved in our ports, but in the port of Jebel Ali in front of us in Dubai, it has created 10 times more capacity to store containers. Well, our position is better than Jebel Ali, but why has Dubai developed the capacity of its port more than us? because it intends to develop infrastructure, both hardware infrastructure and software infrastructure.
It is worth mentioning that from the four railroad routes defined for global transit, three pass through Iran. The first route connects Western Europe to Russia, Kazakhstan, and China. The second goes through Europe to Turkey, Iran, South Asia, Southern China, and Southeast Asia. The third connects Europe to China via Iran and Central Asia, and the fourth passes through Northern Europe to Russia, to Central Asia, and the Persian Gulf.
By nature, our neighboring countries, like us, are moving in the direction of using their own advantages. They have activities in the area of transit, and in the last 10 years, their activities have grown well. It means a competition has been created between our country and the neighboring countries. For example, look at the country of Iraq. Since 10 years ago, this country has been pursuing the development of its Grand Fav port with a nominal capacity of about 100 million tons. It is expected that with the opening of this port and the development plan that Turkey is considering now for investing in Iraq and connecting rail lines, a certain amount of transit discussion in our country will come under the spotlight. Pakistan, too, with the investment of several tens of billions of dollars that China has made in Gwadar port, this port is not more than a few hundred kilometers away from our Chabahar port, and it can be a rival for the transfer of goods from Central Asian countries through Afghanistan and Pakistan.
Presently, Iran benefits from marine, air, road, and rail transportation systems. Iran's Ministry of Roads and Urban Development has set as part of the country's 6-5-year development plan an ambitious aim, according to which revenues from freight transit should exceed those from oil.
Our country potentially has many advantages in terms of its geographical and geopolitical location. 5,800 kilometers of coastline in the north and south of the country, the benefit of developed ports, 20 commercial ports with a capacity of about 270 million tons of transactions and unloading and loading volumes, educated workforce, and also having a suitable fleet level for marine transportation and the road and rail transport fleet is the capacities of our country. Let's not also forget that Iran is neighbored with landlocked countries or countries like Tajikistan and Central Asian countries, and being in the international corridors that countries use for import and export. These potentials and advantages are unparalleled.
Meanwhile, China, based on figures released by the Statistical Office of the European Union, is the biggest exporter of goods to the EU, followed by the US and Russia. If China's exports transited through Iran, it can significantly help Tehran fulfill its goals in the transportation sector. But why would China choose to carry out its transit project through Iran? Iran is a cheaper transit route compared to the existing routes. China has common borders with the former Soviet Union and access to the European market. Yet, large-scale shipping of goods would be much cheaper via maritime routes, and this is what Iran can provide through its safe routes and borders. Of course, exporters look for the shortest, quickest, cheapest, and easiest routes of transportation, and experts believe that Iran needs to measure up to these international trade demands. They believe that in order to be able to fully exploit these propitious opportunities, the government needs to take several measures and reconsider some transit rules and regulations.
Countries are developing their own transportation routes based on their own needs. And there are two things that are influential in the transportation field: transit time and transit costs. How can these two factors be improved in our country? This requires infrastructure measures. We have to expand our logistic facilities. Our ports have a lot of capacity. We have to develop our rail system accordingly. Chabahar port, as our only ocean port, is not yet connected to the national rail network. Or our ports in the north and the Caspian port are not yet fully connected to Azerbaijan and Astara rail lines. If we manage to develop these missing links, in the long term, our transit costs will be much lower and more competitive, and the desire of countries to use and pass through our ports will increase.
This is Iran Today. Iran Today is broadcast
podcast every week on Fridays and Saturdays. This series analyzes major political, economic, cultural, and social events concerning Iran. So don't miss the opportunity to listen to Iran Today on IRIB English Radio.
There's plenty more right after a quick diversion into world media.
Here's how it looks on the page. Financial Tribune reads, Iran-Venezuela direct shipping line to reinforce trade ties. Iran's embassy in Caracas has announced via Twitter that a direct shipping line has been established between Iran and Venezuela with a ship set to depart every 3 months. The aim is to support trade and merchants of both countries, with the first ship having already departed for Venezuela recently. Iran has reportedly sent the first shipment on Golsan ship to Venezuela in November. The two countries signed a 20-year cooperation roadmap during a state visit by Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro to Tehran in mid-June 2022, seeking to boost bilateral ties as they both face U.S. sanctions. Both Iran and Venezuela are heavily sanctioned by the United States, and this has brought them closer. Iran regularly sends oil to crisis-stricken Venezuela and has also loaded Venezuelan oil for sale abroad. According to Financial Times, Iran's Ghost Fleet switches into Russian oil. Tankers in Iran's Ghost Fleet have switched to carrying Russian oil since Western curbs on Moscow intensified in December as the Kremlin turned to sanctions-busting techniques pioneered by Tehran. At least 16 vessels that form part of the Ghost Network that allowed Iran to breach U.S. sanctions have begun to ship Russian crude oil over the past 2 months, according to Financial Times research. Before the surge, just 9 vessels had switched on to the Russian route during the 9 months since the start of the war in February last year. So-called ghost ships are vessels that disguise their ownership and movements in order to facilitate breaches of sanctions. Networks of ghost ships enable the trade in Iranian and Venezuelan oil. Iran has been able to maintain or even increase its crude exports in recent months. Tehran, which cooperates on oil policy with Moscow through the OPEC Plus group, has emerged as a key backer for Russian President Vladimir Putin's invasion of Ukraine. Tehran Times says China ready to partake in Iran's maritime projects. Considering the positive negotiations between the two sides during the recent visit of President Ebrahim Raisi to China, the Chinese have expressed readiness to participate in all Iranian marine projects, head of the Supreme Council of Marine Industries Secretariat Saeed Jafari said on Monday. Considering that China is one of the world's largest maritime producers and has large and capable companies in this field, during the recent trip we had negotiations with one of these companies and good agreements were achieved, Jafari said. He noted that the main focus of the discussions between the two sides has been on technology transfer for manufacturing large-scale vessels. Heading a high-ranking delegation, Iran's President Ebrahim Raisi was on a 3-day visit to China starting February 14th. During President Raisi's visit to China, Tehran and Beijing signed a number of bilateral cooperation documents in the fields of agriculture, trade, tourism, environmental protection, health, disaster relief, culture, and sports. In its latest maritime report dubbed Review of Maritime Transport 2021, UNCTAD, which is an intergovernmental organization within the United Nations Secretariat that promotes the interests of developing countries in world trade, has put Iran in the 22nd place among the countries with the largest shipping fleet based on deadweight tonnage. UNCTAD has put the total number of the world's commercial ships, including tankers, container ships, and bulk carriers, at the end of 2021 at 99,800. The total capacity of the mentioned ships is estimated at 2,134,640,000 tons in 2021, which has increased by 3% over the previous year. In 2020, the cargo capacity of the world shipping fleet was estimated at 2,071,638,000 tons. Based on the report, the capacity of Iran's shipping fleet is more than many industrialized countries such as France, Italy, Canada, and the Netherlands. Iran's ranking has not changed in 2021 compared to the previous year. The Islamic Republic currently has 246 vessels carrying the national flag and 8 foreign flag vessels with a total capacity of 19,251,146 tons. The total capacity of the Iranian shipping fleet has increased by 5.5% in 2021, according to the said report.
We are connected to both the sea and the ocean. What advantage does this ocean have over the sea? Almost every 10 years, draft of ships increases by 1 meter. Port Sadar in the ocean are expensive to build. But in Chabahar or the Makran coast, we need less dredging in order to reach a draft of 20 to 25 meters. Therefore, we are not just a maritime country. We are also an ocean country. That is, if one day all our ports have problems and we only build ports on Makran coast, our cost in terms of sea transportation will be lower. This issue benefits the national economy, both for import and export. Therefore, corridors from west to east and from north to south are in the country's interest due to the geographical location of Iran to pass through our country.
As Iran's flag carrier, the Islamic Republic of Iran Shipping Lines has recorded its highest annual income in the previous Iranian calendar year that ended on March 20th, despite the pandemic and the U.S. sanctions, earning $1.5 billion. According to IRISL officials, although the Iranian shipping fleet has been facing serious restrictions for accessing major ports around the world due to the COVID-19 pandemic and also the U.S. sanctions over the past 2 years, great achievements have been made in its operations, emphasizing the important role of the IRISL in maintaining and prosperity of the country's economy.
Facing a new regime of sanctions in 2018, which led European reinsurers refusing to give insurance to firms importing Iranian oil, Iran provided ships as well as insurance cover to continue exporting crude oil to its customers. It appears that Iranians have often been one step ahead of the U.S. in these matters. For many years, the Islamic Republic has frustrated American attempts to isolate it and starve its economy, even if they had to construct a parallel underground universe that Iranian entities used to avoid international controls when necessary and to conduct business abroad. This explains how Iran won the so-called maximum pressure campaign, according to a top official in the U.S. government.
According to some studies done by an international institution, in the face of obstacles and sanctions restrictions imposed on Iran, Iran's large maritime transport fleet became a significant lever in neutralizing the pressure from the American sanctions. In light of that, in 2021, 8 ships were added to Iran's commercial fleet. In 2022, this quantity grew another 1%, and Iran's cargo capacity reached 19,441,000 tons.
The sea is the most important blessing that God has given us. Imagine if we didn't have a sea. What would the sanctions do to us? If a truck wants to deliver goods to China or Europe by land, it has to pass through dozens of countries, get dozens of traffic permits, dozens of visas, and pass through dozens of borders. Even airplanes are like that. When a plane wants to go from one point to another, it has to cross the skies of several countries, and for this, it has to get permission. And about the sea, fortunately, this is not the case.
Meanwhile, considering Iran's special geographical position in the region and its shared borders with several coastal countries, both in the south and north, shipbuilding has always been among the major industries strongly entangled with the country's economy. In 1973, Iran's Shipbuilding and Offshore Industries Complex, IZO-ICO, was established as the largest shipbuilding complex in West Asia.
At first, small-sized vessels, which were considered under 2,000 tons, started to be produced decentralized in the north and south of the country. In the 1990s, based on the grand policies of the country, factories that could be a turning point in the production of ocean-going vessels began to operate. The military industry of shipbuilding also became the cause. Naturally, due to the defense requirements and the increase in the country's capabilities, military factories were much more advanced than civilian factories, and fortunately, with the combination of science and experience of the Ministry of Defense, the opportunity was created to transfer technology from the military system to the commercial system, which accelerated growth and progress in the country's shipbuilding industry.
At the initial stage, the complex was established with the aim of creating facilities to repair small and medium-sized vessels. Later, the complex's equipment and facilities were developed for the construction and repair of larger tankers.
The science that has been institutionalized in Iran and localized by the experts of this land has made it possible to build any type of ship in Iran. Naturally, there are problems that create obstacles, and this obstacle targets technical and economic bottlenecks. We have many examples of the construction of complex ships in the military system which were produced by the capable hands of Iranian engineers. But we have to accept the fact that because of the sanctions, we are faced with numerous shortages in this area.
In July 2019, Izoico successfully finished the overhaul operation of a supertanker for the first time inside the country. Iranian technicians managed to repair the oil supertanker Dor. Following the successful overhaul of Dor, major domestic ship owners like the National Iranian Tanker Company and the Islamic Republic of Iran shipping lines started referring a major part of their overhaul operations to local yards in order to reduce the costs and also to encourage domestic yards to expand their work.
For vessels below 5,000 tons, we have the ability to produce more than 90% of the equipment inside the country, but for vessels above 5,000 tons, which are called conventional vessels, almost 50% of the parts have to be supplied from abroad. Given the fact that in the construction of ships, all the parts and equipment are unique to each ship itself, in the conditions of sanctions, it's a bit difficult to provide them. But at the same time, it has been managed so far.
Following the country's two major shipbuilders, new private companies have also entered the field over the past few years, making the industry expand its roots both inside the country and at the global level. Accordingly, in addition to repairing international vessels, Iranian shipbuilding companies have also successfully built three large oil tankers ordered by Venezuela.
You can see the pinnacle of shipbuilding artistry and engineering in these two Iranian-made oil tankers, that is Afra Max 1 and 2. In this size and category, more than seven ships have been built in the past 20 years, excluding military ships that use very high and complex technologies. The construction of these two ships was subject to the same components that I mentioned to you when they were launched. They obtained international permits. We have 11 sets of ship ratings which apply the strictest standards required to produce a ship.
The shipbuilding industry does not have a high profit margin like some other industries, and usually the countries are only successful in this field that have all the upstream and downstream industries and the supply chain in some way. We in our country are now giving orders to shipbuilding companies. For example, the Islamic Republic of Iran Shipping Line Group, IRISL, has signed four contracts with Sadra Shipbuilding Company this year for the production of four ships, two of which are roll-on-roll-off vessels and the other two are 3,500 tons vessels. I believe that if the government shows enough support to this industry, this potential could be used in a better way, especially if we can attract foreign investment in this area.
In September 2022, Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro announced receiving the third ship with the most advanced engineering technology in the world from Iran to local media.
That's all for today. Thank you from the whole team. Do tune in same time next week and each week after. Don't forget to leave your comments and topic requests. Till next time, take care.
Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted.
A path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You're listening to the program Bridge on RIB English Radio with Sheikh Al Musavi.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the program Bridge. We are looking at supplication number 8 of Al-Sahif Sajjadiyya for Al-Imam Ali ibn al-Husayn Zainul Abidin alayhi salamullah. The Imam seeks refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from number of things in this dua. And we go to the part where he says, وَاسْتِكْثَارُ الطَّاعَ, thinking that I've done too much for Allah. I worship, I pray on time, I pray Salatul Layl, I give charity, I read Quran, I help people, blah, 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 blah. The more we think we are like this, the more we start to count what we do for Allah, then ujb and pride comes in. And then we think we're doing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a favor. That is a problem. So when we are happy with ourselves of what we are doing to Allah, we said, that's good. But not to take pride in it. We think, yeah, alhamdulillah, I'm doing the right thing. Let me do more. Let me be more fearful. Let me be more regretful. Let me try to think that I'm doing less, not more. So should lead me to becoming a better person, not a bad person, not a person with pride. So the Imam says, Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam says, مَنْ رَضِيَ عَنْ نَفْسَهِ كَثْرَ السَّخَطُونَ عَلَيْهِ, he who becomes pleased with himself, then there will be a lot of people unpleased with him. And obviously this is a general hadith, but it applies to the situation that we're talking about, where a person says, well, I'm pleased with myself, I'm doing so much for God, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obviously will not be pleased with such a person. And on that note, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, سَيِّئَةً تَسُؤْكَ خَيْرٌ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ حَسَنَةٍ تَعْجُبُكَ, a sin that hurts you and makes you feel regretful and makes you feel bad in the sight of Allah is much better than a sin that makes you pleased with yourself and you take pride in it. Let's take a short break and then we will come back.
A path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds.
A bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifatu Sajjadiyyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
Rabbana, Rabbana,
welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Bridge. So we're talking about a person who worships Allah and does good actions to Allah, and then he starts to count these actions and boast about it and thinking he's doing too much. And we said this is a problem. Why? Obviously because ujb will come in the heart. Pride will sink in. Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Talib alayhi salam, he says, أوحش الوحشة العجب, the most lonely feeling that a person can get, and the worst of feeling a person can get is when pride hits his heart. When pride becomes in the heart of a person, it's just a person feels good about it, but the reality of it in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just an emptiness. It's an abyss of emptiness, because all these actions will go to waste, because a person thinks that he's doing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a favor. So his actions get cancelled. His action will not be accepted because of pride. Pride will always cancel any action that we do, no matter how big it is. So have you seen sometimes people, when they give charity to other people and they take pictures and they post it on their profiles, on their Instagram and Facebook and what have you, look at me, I pay charity, look at me, I've done so and so, look at me. Sometimes even when people go to Ziyar to visit the Imams alayhim salam, they start taking pictures of themselves and stuff like that, posting it online. Fair enough, you done Ziyarah, you were blessed enough to go visit one of the Imams. Why do you have to tell the entire world that, look at me, alhamdulillah, today Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me the tawfiq to go to visit Imam so-and-so? This is not required. This is boasting about your actions. This is taking pride in your actions. That will actually nullify your acts. We don't have to tell people. If it is for Allah, then no matter how much I do for Allah, is nothing. It's absolutely nothing. If I can worship 24 hours, there's still nothing in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because He's not in need of it. He doesn't need my ibadah. I need my ibadah to Allah. I need to become a better person. So should I take pride in all these actions that we do? You see people going to Mecca, they take pictures of themselves and they're posting it online. You see people giving charity, they take pictures. You see people even sometimes praying in the mosque and they're taking pictures. For what? Who are you trying to please? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or people? So we have to be very, very careful. Let us take a short break and then we will come back.
Listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Bridge. Isa alayhi salam, Isa the son of Maryam alayhi salam, he says, Dawaitul marda fashafaytum. I treated the sick and I cured them bi idnillah, with the help and the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa abra'tul akmaha wal abras. And I was able to cure those who had leprosy and deafness bi idnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa alajtul mawta fahaytuhum bi idnillah. And I treated the dead and I brought them to life by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَعَالَجْتُ الْأَحْمَقَ فَلَمْ أَقْدِرْ عَلَىٰ إِصْلَاحَ. But those who are fool, I tried to cure them, but I couldn't. They said to him, يَا نَبِيَ اللَّهِ, who are the fools that you could not cure? He says, الْمُعْجَبُ بِرَأْيِهِ وَلَنَفْسَهِ. He who thinks good of himself and thinks good of his opinions and things that he is, you know, God's gift to man. الَّذِي يَرَى الْفَضْلَ كِلَّهُ لَهُ لَا عَلَيْهِ. The one who sees all the favors come from him, not unto him. So he does favors to Allah, not Allah is doing him a favor. وَيُوجِبُ الْحَقَّ كُلَّهُ لِنَفْسَهِ وَلَا يُجِبْ عَلَيْهِ حَقًّا. And he sees that everyone has a right to give to him, and he has no right to give to other people. فَذَلِكَ الْأَحْمَقُ. Indeed, that is the fool. الَّذِي لَا حِلَةَ فِي مُدَاوَةٍ. There is no way to cure him. God forbid we be among those who are fool, that the prophets cannot cure, because sometimes we think good of ourselves, we think good of our opinions, we don't see no faults in ourselves, we see ourselves perfect, and we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must give me everything, because I am such a good person and I don't need to give anyone anything. That is a problem. So being in that state, istikthar al-ta'a, thinking that we're doing too much of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having pride in it, is in fact a disease and a sin itself that will get me and you in trouble. We want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy on us for the lack of ibadah we do for Him, not vice versa. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Al Musawi in the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
هرگز نگیرد تا ابد آقا کسی جای تو را، هرگز مخواد از کف دهم عشق و تولای تو را.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
This is IRIB English Radio.